When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Mike Maniscalco, and you're listening to the Tracking the Storm podcast.
Thanks, Mike, and welcome back, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again this week here at the Tracking the Storm podcast. My name is Brandon. That's my boy, Matt. He's back and ready. Mm-hmm. You should see the very excited look on his face right now. Woo-woo indeed, Ric Flair. Things are going well in Kane's land right now, ladies and gentlemen. As we record today, we had to kind of push it back a little bit, unfortunately. We have not talked since the Devil's series started. Obviously, Sterlo and I talked last week. We kind of broke down the remains of the Islanders series. It was right before the Devil's series started. So obviously, much has happened that we have yet to talk to you about. So we'll get into all that today. It obviously is game day as we sit here recording this at about 1 o'clock. So it was probably not going to be our longest episode because we got to get it out today. So we'll go ahead and jump right into things. This was a series with a lot of intrigue around it. And look, hey, me and Sterlo did predictions last week. And I'll go ahead and admit it. I'll line up for a Pavlin right now. I said I thought the Devils were going to win this series in six. That it's not impossible that they still win the series, mind you. But obviously, in six games, that ship has already sailed. I'm happy to take a beating for that. I said at the time, I was like, I hope I'm wrong. But I just didn't think this was a very good matchup for the Canes. I thought their luck kind of might run out. And for many reasons, it has not. We'll get into that in a few minutes. I think it was huge that the Hurricanes were able to get off to that 2-0 start at home, though. And I definitely didn't see it happening in as dominant a fashion as it did. All four games in this series have been blowouts. It's been very, very strange. But, you know, I go back to those first two games. You know, the Devils got blown out in their first two games in round one as well. And the Rangers, you know, kind of never found their footing again after the Devils started to push back a little bit. And I think that's definitely not what we saw from the Hurricanes because, you know, game three, I kind of expected a Devils win because it's like they're going back home. If you go down 3-0, you're done. So you're playing for your season. And they were very desperate that night. And the Hurricanes didn't really have it. Like, they just didn't really show up in game three with a 2-0 lead. They may be, you know, sometimes it's like that, right? It's hockey. You don't bring it every night. But I said after that game, I was like, you definitely don't want to go back to Raleigh with the series tied 2-2. You need to find a way to take game four. And they, in extremely impressive fashion, did so. So, Matt, what have your thoughts been for the first four games? What are your takeaways so far as the Hurricanes are up 3-1 over the Devils?
At the risk of sounding cocky, like, I'm thrilled with where the Hurricanes are at. And I honest to God, don't see a way that the Hurricanes can, you know, lose this series. That's a bold take. It may hurt me tonight, but you take a look at how the Canes are playing, how they match up against New Jersey, and what they've been able to do so far, right? You know, you've gotten contributions not just from, you know, your top guys. You've gotten your contributions from the guys like Jordan Martinook, who's had 9 points in four games so far this series. You've gotten points from players such as Jack Drury's playing really well. There's so many players that are playing at an elite level right now that, you know, if you're the Hurricanes, you have to be extremely happy with where you're at. You know, we always talk about, like, the matchups and, like, how important, you know, certain matchups are for the Hurricanes, but, like, the way the team is playing right now, there's not a single matchup that worries me, truly, because of how well they're playing. I also think the goaltending has been a big difference. You know, obviously there was that one game where the goalies let us down, But at the same time, New Jersey's had four games where their goaltending has been subpar. It just so happened to be the one other game they scored eight goals.
Right.
You know, you look at how the Hurricanes played in games one and two. Perfect games for the Hurricanes. You know, they weathered that storm that the Devils were inevitably going to bring early on. And then they got the first goal, both games. Hurricanes ended up blowing out the Devils in both games. The next game, it sucked. And it was probably the worst we've ever seen the Hurricanes play. No joke. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen the Canes play. And they still scored four on New Jersey, including three shorthanded goals. And then, you know, I honestly think, you know, game four was perfect Canes hockey. You know, they got down early, but they did not look back after that. They kept pushing and they eventually, you know, moved on to have that big second period. And that was it, you know. And then you talk about, you know, like, oh, New Jersey, you know, was going to have to come back in the third. They only had five shots in the third period.
They didn't get anything going. Like, I was
nothing.
I was like, don't let them make this like a 6-4 game and get any momentum going into game five. The Hurricanes didn't. I mean, they totally shut things down. And by the way, just real quick, to add on to something you just said a minute ago, I do want to give Freddie Anderson a shout out.
A shout out. I would love for him to get a shout
that
out.
That would be great. That would be great. I already jinxed it before the game even started. But no, in game three, he sucked. Like, it's cool. So did the rest of the team.
He and Piotr sucked.
They were both terrible. Yep. And then game four, at first, you look at that first goal he gave up, and it looked a little leaky, but it went off Jack Hughes point blank. Like, you can't really give him too much blame for a shot. It kind of went through him, yeah, but that's a point blank deflection. Whatever. After that, and I even said during that game, I was like, I hated the Hurricanes start in game four. I thought it was just as bad as most of their game three was. But they turned it on, and Freddie is a big reason that game wasn't 2 or 3 to nothing, because they had chances, the Devils did. He kept the Hurricanes in it, and Andrew said this, Andrew Schnicker, friend of the podcast, said this a couple of times as well on Twitter, so I am kind of, you know, piggybacking off that, but I was thinking it too. Anyway, Freddie kept them in it. He kept that score 1-0 and gave the Hurricanes a chance to tie it late and then take over in the second period. So definitely really, really encouraged by what we've seen from Frederik Andersen so far.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing like he has in the regular season. Or he had in the regular season, I guess. You know, so that's a good thing for the Hurricanes. The biggest thing I've noticed is, you know, the talk has always been, you know, like, where is Carolina's depth scoring going to come from? And, you know, people are clowning on the Canes or on media for having that take. But here's the thing. Canes are missing three top six forwards. Like, it's not depth scoring. It's, hey, you're missing literally half of your top six. Where the hell is your scoring coming from now? And that's part of the reason. Like, the Hurricanes are built to have contributions up and down the lineup. It's not just one guy, and it never has been one guy with this team, right? You know, like, hell, Tara Vinen had a slow season by his standards, but still is a valuable part of this team defensively. And, you know, I think you're getting good, but not maybe not like great contributions from everybody in the lineup right now. I mean, you know, your defense has gotten it going a lot better this series than the Islanders series, which makes sense given how the Islanders play. But man, I mean, so far through four games this series, I'm thrilled with how the Hurricanes are playing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really ask for much more. I'm pretty bad about jinxing, and whether that's a reverse jinx saying I think the Hurricanes are going to lose this game and then they win it, or it's an actual jinx and saying I really like how the Hurricanes are playing and then they stink. But, you know, obviously there's a ton of things that can happen. This has been a wild playoff, like as a whole, not just for the Hurricanes. The entire playoffs have been absolutely nuts. But I will say game four was the first time I was really sitting back and thinking, I think this team can win the Stanley Cup this year. I didn't think that. Like, I just when Svechnikov went down, Teravine, I mean, just so many injuries piling up. I didn't think they could. I thought at some point it would run out, and it still may, you know. At some point, the depth scoring may dry up, and, you know, things can happen. But game four, like I said, in New Jersey, the way they really took it to them again on the road, 3-2 on the road in the playoffs this year, That was the first time I sat there and said, holy shit, this team might win the Stanley Cup. Legitimately. Again, don't know if they will. But they look as good as anybody right now, I can tell you that much.
I agree. I think this team could make a run. I really do. And in the past, you know, the issue has been the disappearance of certain players like Natchez, Svechnikov. Obviously, Svechnikov is not able to play in these playoffs, so, you know, we can't really talk about that. But really, in the past, it's just been Aho, and you might get a goal from your third line, and that's it. But this series, it's really been a full team effort. It's been Jarvis. It's been Martinook, Foss, Staal. Burns has had a really good series. Trying to think. Nate just has, you know, after kind of a disappointing first round, he scored the game-winning goal in game four. But even before then, I think he had like two or three posts in game three, you know, so he's getting the chances that he wasn't getting against the Islanders.
Yeah. We said this set up better for him, much better for him than the Islanders would.
Oh, God. And I think with the Hurricanes, you know, like, part of what makes them such an interesting matchup against New Jersey is Carolina's forecheck. Yeah. I saw somebody describe it as, you know, like, here you go, New Jersey, have fun, enjoy your Jordan Staal backpack. And I think it's hilarious. Like, it really is like Jordan Staal just being on the forecheck constantly. And with the Hurricanes playing as well as they have with the forecheck, I mean, you've seen how many goals this year. Let's see, Pesci's goal, yeah. Game four came off the forecheck. And I want to say Burns's goal did too.
Oh, did too. Puck retrieval, getting pucks to the point, getting shots through, stuff like that.
And both of Natchez's goals were turnovers or in transition.
Yeah, so, getting Natchez off the rush is not something we're always used to seeing from this team.
No, because Natchez went to the freaking middle.
Exactly.
He went to the middle of the ice.
He worked for his chance. Something I've been clamoring about for freaking weeks now. Finally.
Well, and what's so good about the second Natchez goal in particular is he notices he makes the pass to Pesci and basically just sees a wide open lane to the middle. So he just continues skating forward and the New Jersey defender cuts the outside to defend Pesci for some reason. Pesci's not a lethal shooter. Like, I know he scored in game four, but like, he's not a guy that you got to worry about shooting wise most of the time. All of a sudden, Pesci makes a pass back to Natchez to the middle. It's a perfect give and go. All Natchez has to do is just tap the puck in.
Well, that's the same way his first goal. It was a snipe. You got to give him credit for that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying, like, it's just, you know, those types of plays. You see other teams executing them, but for whatever reason, you don't see the Canes executing it all the time. Finally, they're starting to get it. And
it's because they always dump the puck.
Well, but here's the thing. They scored two goals off of dumping.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like, if you can find a mix of that, there's not a team in the league that can defend that shit.
Absolutely. And this is like one of my just nitpicky complaints about them is there's times when they dump the puck and I'm like, if you make a nice little chip to the middle there, you might've had a 2-on-1. And like, there's little times like that when I feel like they get a little too, this is our system. We dump the puck in. And there's something to be said for that because you avoid turnovers. You're less likely to like make a bad pass and have it go the other way when you're going up ice. Like there's positives to that too. And it helps to not create so many odd man rushes going the other way. But I feel like in the playoffs, they have done a better job. And I've seen it twice where somebody has faked a dump in and the entire defense. I think we saw it once for a goal in the Islander series. I can't remember who it was. I feel like we talked about it on the pod. And then I saw it again in game four. It didn't actually turn into a goal, but it turned into a pretty good chance where they faked the dump in. Everybody's like, oh, the Hurricanes dump. They always do this. And they start going back. And then it leads to a controlled entry. And I feel like the Hurricanes have just in general done a better job of picking their spots to get that controlled entry and not have to forecheck. They just enter the zone with possession and then go to work on the cycle. And that's kind of given a new little hitch in their like strategy that like teams kind of are not really prepared for.
Well, I think it's interesting too, you know, I think you could argue that on both of Natchez's goals, they thought he was going to dump the puck in.
Probably, yeah.
And especially on the second one, I think that the reason why New Jersey's defense was caught kind of off balance there is because they're fully expecting Natchez to dump the puck in and have either him or Pesci come back. Like, they don't expect a Canes defender to push into the offensive zone. You know, and especially Pesci, who's not, like, the most offensive guy. I think, you know, this is the case of the Devils defenders being caught off guard by it. It's a great play.
Yeah. And one last thing, you know, we're talking a lot about the offense. They're creating a lot. Their depth scoring has been phenomenal. But we can't overlook, you know, we're sitting here talking about the forecheck, and then this builds directly off that. We know what the Devils' strength is. Speed through the middle of the ice, creating off the rush. They have a ton of talent up front. Have you even noticed Jesper Bratt this series? Timo Meier, no. Maybe a handful of times.
I've noticed Meier because he's a bigger body and I think, at least a couple points.
He's created, especially in game three. And Jack Hughes, kind of same thing. You notice him in game three. I feel like the Hurricanes have done a phenomenal job of choking him off as well. Even Heischer. Like, I feel like...
That's because Jesperi Kotkaniemi killed him in game two.
He really did. Oh, man. And, God, the physical play hasn't been another thing that we haven't even gotten to yet. But the Hurricanes, especially in that game two, they really just laid the hammer down. And I think from that point on, they really set the tone in that game with that. And that's not something we see a lot from them. Like, they're a physical team, yes. It's part of the forecheck. But it's not always, doesn't always manifest in that kind of way. But anyway, the Hurricanes have done, and I wrote about this the other day after their game two win, the job they've done at just completely eliminating the Devils' speed through the middle of the ice. Like, their layered forecheck and aggressiveness, they're stepping up at the blue line, which, like, if they don't cause a turnover, which they have been constantly at their own blue line, like, you know, at the defensive blue line, stepping up to create a turnover, they're throwing off the Devils' timing by stepping up and making them go east west instead of north south into the zone. It's throwing off the timing for the puck carrier with his wingers that maybe would be trying to cut for a chance. It's just throwing everything off. They're systematically eviscerating the Devils' offense.
I don't know the stats on this. I'm just going to be honest, but when I watch the Hurricanes play, there's not a single team in the league that's better at just clogging up the blue line and preventing a chance, or just preventing an entry, not even a chance, a zone entry. You see it on the penalty kill, too. I mean, that's part of the reason why the Canes' penalty kill is so great, because all they have to do is get one clear.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you 40 seconds to get back into the zone.
And you may not even do it then with possession. Like, it's just...
You may have to dump it in, or you may get like a weak-ass shot off, and then boom, puck's going right back out. You got to do that shit all over again.
It's a 200-foot structured defense that is, even for an elite high-flying offense like the Devils, next to impossible to create against. All right. We're going to run the ad real quick. We got a couple more things to talk about before we get out of here. Tracking the Storm is a proud part of the Hockey Podcast Network, so we're going to take just a couple of minutes and get a word from our sponsors. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. We're getting down to the wire. Only, eight teams left? Only a couple games away from being in the Final Four. Get over to the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Take advantage while you still can. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. See the show notes wherever you get our podcast for important details, or go to DraftKings.com/sportsbook for responsible state-specific gambling resources. Let's face it, with coffee starting at $5 these days and our bank accounts somehow always depleting, we are officially entering a dupe session. Most products do the same thing but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate, or dupe, is critical for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on: Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. I know for me, I live with my earbuds in 24/7. With the current inflation and recession worries, they're so easy to replace. They're a more competitive price point than any of the other big guys, and they provide the quality and versatility of any of the other guys. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of those other more big-name tech brands out there. Raycon knows that in this economy, every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options, so right now you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. They have an easy and free return guarantee and offer 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks. They also offer free domestic shipping and flat fee international shipping. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews, including mine. I love my Raycons. Use them every day. All I do, sit around to work, I've got my Raycons in. If I'm doing a podcast, I've got my Raycons in. Between the customizable sound profiles, noise isolation and awareness modes, and crystal clear call quality, there's no better option on the market. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. Thank you to Raycon and DraftKings. Love you guys.
All right, Brandon. So we're back, of course. My question for you is, the Hurricanes win game five if blank. Don't hurt yourself.
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm not coming up with anything particularly eye-opening here. Like, it's just do what you've fucking been doing. Like, they've played three of the four games this series have been flawless Carolina Hurricanes hockey, save for the first, like, you know, 10 minutes of game four. Like, they just, like we were talking about a minute ago before the ads, choking off any momentum the Devils are trying to create. They're getting on the forecheck. They are absolutely wearing Dougie Hamilton and the rest of the Devils' defense out. Like, just complete non-factor Dougie Hamilton has been. If they continue to wear them out on the forecheck like that, I don't see how the Devils win game five. It's going to be an absolute madhouse at PNC Arena. Place is going to be absolutely rocking. We know how the Hurricanes feed off of that. I was really surprised when they lost game five to the Islanders. I don't think they're going to screw around with the Devils like they did that game. I think they're going to come out, prove a point, get it over with. They've kind of got the – I mean, they've got the Devils on their heels. Not kind of. They do have the Devils on their heels. Like, they looked like a defeated team in the third period of game four. And maybe they were just kind of resting up and saying, what's the point in, you know, building anything? And they're going to come – they're going to give you their best shot to start, I bet. I wouldn't be surprised if the Devils did get a little bit of pressure early on. Going to need Freddie Anderson to stand tall again, keep the Hurricanes in it. Let them build their game. I think if they, you know, even if the Devils do score first, that's one thing I was going to say, is score first and play from ahead. But shit, they didn't score first in game four. Like, you know, no notes is kind of where I'm at with this series right now. If the Hurricanes continue to play the way they've been playing, there's not a team in, you know, not even just left in the field. They would have given the Bruins a hell of a run at this, with like this. And obviously the Bruins bowed out in the first round. Nobody saw that coming. But even if the Bruins were playing their style of hockey, I don't think the Hurricanes would have been that worried about the Bruins had they matched up with them. I've been saying that since the middle of the season. I think the Hurricanes are kind of built to play against a team like the Bruins. But the brand of hockey they're playing right now, obviously there's a long – they're not even halfway to the wins you need to win a Stanley Cup. Let's throw that out there. They still would need nine more wins. There's a lot of hockey left to be played to achieve their ultimate goal. But The way they're playing right now, just got to stay consistent. They got as good a chance as anybody. And one thing, you know, here's one other thing that I don't think is being talked about maybe as much as it should be. I know the Hurricanes made the Eastern Conference Final in their very first year with Brendan Moore as head coach, but it takes teams a while to learn how to win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Devils are going to be a problem for a while. But this is a big learning experience for them and what it takes to win a playoff series. The Hurricanes have had that for 5 years now. You know, everything they've built the last few years, everything they've learned the last few years with this core in place has taught them what a grind and what kind of sacrifice it takes. 60-minute complete efforts, discipline, all that stuff is really important in a playoff series. And I don't mean discipline just as far as taking penalties and or not. I mean it as far as sticking to your game plan, doing the little things it takes to win, dealing with adversity. The Hurricanes have done a phenomenal job of that. And the Devils just aren't there yet. You know, and again, I would not be surprised at all if within the next couple of years that team makes a Stanley Cup run. They got that much talent. But it's starting to look, again, I've said it a couple of times today. It's starting to look more and more like the Hurricanes' time, like they're ready for this.
Yeah, I just think if the Hurricanes just play their game the way they always have, we'll be fine. I don't have too much more to say about the NHL team. Probably the last thing I feel like we should mention before we go is I think you probably saw this the other day, but when Elliot Friedman recorded the 32 Thoughts podcast, he talked about how he had been hearing reports that some influential people in the AHL, or just in general in hockey, had kind of stepped in and basically told the Chicago Wolves to work something out with the Hurricanes. And my guess is that the NHL was like, hey, what the hell?
What are you talking about?
Right. And, you know, we kind of talked about this when the news broke, right? Like, per AHL rules, you're only allowed to dress 5, quote, veterans a night. So it's going to be 5 veterans and 13 rookies. Or no, 14 rookies, or, you know, like, undrafted free agents, like college free agents, CHL free agents, stuff like that.
That was my question. Like, how do you expect to field a competitive team? When
that team is going to be ass.
Your roster is going to be made up of players not deemed good enough to have, you know, an NHL team to have their rights.
Yep. Because I'm pretty sure, I'm not like 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure that the league also counts like European professional games in as like, almost knocked down my drink, as like veteran status. So like they can't even sign like, you know, like KHL players without, you know, having that count. Like, so obviously nothing's happened yet. We don't know if anything is going to happen, but the reports are that something is trying to be worked out. That's positive. Chicago was a great franchise to have our prospects develop in. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know what they were really thinking trying to go that route, but I did kind of wonder that at the time. It was like, what is the NHL or the AHL in general going to say about this? Like, that's the point of the league, kind of. Like, yes, it's a pro league, and they care about winning there, too. Like, those franchises are not just there to develop prospects. We've seen with the Wolves, and that's why they were kind of a good match for the Hurricanes, is because they do want to be competitive. They do want to build that culture of winning.
Yep.
But, like, you know, it's just a weird situation, and I will be fascinated to see what comes out in the coming weeks and months leading up to next year about where discussions went and whatnot, because you know those leaks are going to happen eventually.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, the situation as a whole seemed very weird from the get-go, but, you know, it is what it is. Brandon, I know we wanted to keep this relatively short this week, so I think we should wrap it up here. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I'm pretty much ready. I'm ready for tonight, man. I'm pumped. I'm ready. Yep. Go ahead and close it out. Let's get it done. Let's move on.
I'll do my part. I'll stay off the ice. Well, folks, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. We appreciate you all very much. Folks, hey, you know what? There was a little bit of panic a couple weeks ago when I was on the podcast because I don't think we had closed out the series just yet. Canes have looked pretty good since then. And, folks, it's a great time to be a Carolina Hurricanes fan.